He wants to minister this morning about prayer. Well, I know about prayer. I pray. You don't have to tell me anything about prayer. I know you pray. Let me ask you something. You know, when Jesus was approaching the disciples about prayer, he talked about prayer. You think in Jesus' mind, he was thinking, okay, boys, I'm going to teach you how to pray here. Now, if you're lucky, you're going to get about 25% of your prayers answered. If you're lucky, do you think that was the thought in Jesus' mind? No. He wasn't thinking, if you're really good, if you're a good little boy and girl, maybe you're going to get 40 or 50% answered. He wasn't thinking that at all. What he was laying out to the disciples is, here is how you get your prayers answered. How many of them, Lord? How about all of them? All of them? How do I get all of my prayers answered? Because right now, Lord, I'm shooting at best about 20%. I'd like to get that percentage up there a little bit. How do I do it? You know, to him, he was shooting 100%. You know, when he prayed, he got the answer. And we can see from his life why. Well, it's because he was God. Don't you know, Mark? That's not the reason why. He got his prayers answered because he followed the order that was established. See, we don't know anything about order. We think we do. As Pastor Dave, if he was up here teaching this, he'd call it protocol. Protocol is the right word, but I want to use a word that you can identify with. Because if I say protocol, it sounds somewhere out there, somewhere else. I want to use something that you can identify with. So I'm just going to talk about the order of things. You know, if you go into, let's say if you went into a courtroom, you have a judge sitting on the podium there in the front. You have the lawyers. Now, how many of you think that you can just walk right into that courtroom? Let's say you even know the judge. Let's say, and I know this wouldn't be the case because they would have to recuse themselves, but let's just say you're related to the judge and the case that's before him is your case. Let's just say that was the situation. So you walk into that courtroom, you're just going to walk right in and say, hey, Dad, you know, I'm here. He's going to look at you and he'll say, okay, sit down. We have what? Order in this courtroom. There is a process, a procedure that's already in place. Even if you know who I am, there is a process that you need to follow in this courtroom. Let's say, for example, we take this scenario to a classroom. My dad was a public school teacher. He never was one of my teachers. But I can assure you of something. If he was one of my teachers and I walked into the classroom about 10 minutes late, he would have fired me up just like he would have anybody else. I wouldn't have been able to say, Dad, I got to go do something. Or Dad, I can answer that. There's order in that classroom. There's order all around us. There's order when you deal with a police officer. When you deal with positions of authority, there's a way that you approach them. Go to England. You got the Olympics in London right now. Go to England. Are you just going to walk right into the Queen's palace? Going to walk right in and just start talking to her? Hey, Queen, how you doing? No. You're going to follow a set of protocol, a set of order in how you approach. It's just the way it is. You go into the president. You're not going to waltz right into the Oval Office. Hey, President, how you doing? Just thought I'd come say hi. Now, I'm not saying that you don't have freedom to say, Jesus, I love you and I worship you. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is, if Jesus tells us, here's an order to follow, when you make your petitions to the Father, pray this way. And we don't. We decide, I don't want to pray that way. I want to pray this way. I'm just going to do this. And we expect to have the same results that he told us we would have. See, that's where we have a misconception. We don't recognize the order that has been established, the process, the procedures. But as we go into this today, you're going to realize that there is a pathway for you to have your prayers answered. All of them. All of them. And I know right now some of you are in your minds, they're spinning right now thinking, all the good stuff I'm going to get, all the wonderful little toys I'm going to get. See, in this process, you're going to realize that that's not part of it. That you just get all of your fleshly little wants. Okay? And see, that's where part of the faith movement kind of went off course. Because we were taught, you can just have whatever you want. Well, that's not what Jesus taught. So I want to know what he taught. Because however he taught, that's the way I want to do it. Because I want the same results. And a lot of this, we're going to find out, is tied in hand with worship. Worship. Worship is a key facet of this prayer, of how we approach the Lord. Hallelujah. Just close your eyes right now. Just close your eyes. Jesus. Just say that name with me. Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, you've made a way for us where there was no way. There was no way. But you became that way. And you made us acceptable in the beloved. You, Lord, you made it all possible. Can't earn it. We can't do anything, Jesus, to earn this. We just receive what you've done for us. We receive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glorify your name. When I talk about the order, when I talk about the fact that sometimes we just run in and we just pray our prayer of petition. We just walk right in and we just, here, I need this, Lord. Now, let me tell you something. If a truck is speeding your direction, hollering the name of Jesus, that's fine. Go ahead. Jesus, help me now. That's fine. But what I'm talking about, and I'll have to admit to you, you know, I have answered prayers. The percentage isn't 100% instant, but I am working in that direction. But I'll have to admit to you, what he's showing me right now, I have to improve on my way of offering my petition. Because I run in sometimes and I just blurt it out. I got the scripture that I'm standing on. Here's the scripture. I know it's in the will of God. I know it is. Because I'm surrendered, and that's part of what we're going to get to. I'm surrendered. I'm not asking for stupid things. I'm not asking for superfluous things that aren't necessary. Mine is right in line with this path that I'm on, that walking into His perfect will. But I don't do it like I would walk into the office of the president. I don't walk in with that kind of reverence, with that kind of awe. I think at times we've made it so commonplace that we don't recognize. We're talking about Jehovah God that created everything. That we walk into His presence. We approach Him with reverential fear. Not fear that's bad, but reverential fear. That we walk in and we approach Him in a manner of worship. That we worship Him. See, this is tied in with private worship. It's tied in with laying yourself down. If you go back and look at the tabernacle, you're going to find that the first thing that they would come to would be the brazen altar. They would offer the sin sacrifice at the brazen altar. Inside in the holy place, not the most holy, but the next place, the holy place, there was another altar there. The altar of incense. And the priest would offer that incense every day. Do you think that as he offered that beautiful smelling incense that it permeated all of his clothing, that he smelled like that beautiful fragrance? There's something about worship in that. That as you worship him, his fragrance is going to get all over you. His presence. I'm going to go back now. I'm going to share this with you. I've shared it many times before. But I actually took the time this time to write down word for word what the Lord said to Pastor Dave. And I'm going to go back now. I'm going to talk about the rock falling, being tossed into the pond, and the ripples. Now I want you to listen closely. This is what God said to him. The more you worship, the more the Holy Spirit will be able to permeate your spirit with presence. The ripples from your spirit will permeate your soul. And the ripples from your soul will permeate your senses until His presence not only surrounds your whole being, but will permeate the atmosphere around you until even other people are aware of His presence. Folks, I want to tell you something. When I'm around Pastor Dave, I can feel it. I can feel it. I'm not elevating him. All he did was worship. He went in and worshiped the Lord in private worship until this has happened to him, not in the fullness yet, but I'm telling you what, he's a long way down this path. As he's worshiped, the presence has permeated his spirit. As he's worshiped, it's gone into his soulish man. As he's worshiped, it's actually now beginning to affect the area around him. I mean, you can be down for whatever reason, and you can sit and have a cup of coffee with him. I'm going to guarantee you one thing. When you're done, it's not really what he said. It's sitting there with him has affected the atmosphere. And that is available to every single person. Not just him. All of us. I want that to happen to me. Now, what, Mark, does that have to do with getting my prayers answered? Because you promised me I was going to find out how to get my prayers answered, and that's what I'm here for. All right? Go to Matthew chapter 6. This is the order. This is the process. Jesus, we all trust Jesus, right? He's not going to lead us astray. He's going to teach us how to pray. So Matthew chapter 6. We're going to backtrack here, but first we're going to go in verse 7. We're going to read this, but then we'll have to backtrack a little bit. When you pray. So right here we know he's going to talk to us about prayer. When you pray, use not vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Verse 8. Be not you therefore likened to them, for your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask. Stop there. If he knew and knows exactly what I have need of, then why on earth do I have to ask? Why? If he knows, then what is Jesus going to, what's he going to share here? Since the Father knows, then there must be something here besides just him knowing. That's the point. Besides just the Father knowing what the petition is. There must be something here in addition to him knowing that, that I have to be aware of, and this is it. After this manner, verse 9. After this manner, therefore, after this order, this is the order. Pray, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now, I want you to stop there. This is not like any other message you've ever heard about the Lord's Prayer. Forget about all of those. Forget about all of the times you said in some denominational church and they sung the Lord's Prayer or they prayed the Lord's Prayer and it sounded all mechanical. Jesus wasn't giving a mechanical anything. Jesus is telling us, here's the order. Pay attention. Here, come here. Listen to me. This is the order. First of all, pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. This is worship, folks. We're approaching him in worship. Now, it's only a few words, but these few words encompass all of private worship. If you want to approach the Father in a way that you're going to get your petition answered, not just 30%, 40%, 50%, here's 100%. First of all, approach him with worship. Now, when we talk about private worship, guess what? There's a breaking in process. There is a process that you're going to have to go through where you're going to have to fight against your flesh. Your flesh is going to scream. It's not going to want to do it. Guess what's happening at that point? You are going past the brazen altar. Follow me. You are passing that brazen altar. The Holy Spirit is taking you by the hand and saying, come with me. I'm going to take you by the brazen altar. And you're going to have to do this. You're going to have to take soulish man and offer him up right here. And he's going to scream. He's going to cry like a little baby. He's going to tell you, you can't do this. You can do anything else but this. But this is the altar right here. Offer him up. How do I do it, Mark? I get alone like this. I get alone like this in a room full of people. I'm alone. Because my closet isn't some room somewhere. My closet is right here on the inside. Now watch me real close. I'm going to go into my closet right now. Father, Jesus. Jesus, I worship you. Jesus. I worship you. I worship you. I worship you, Jesus. It doesn't take but 3 seconds, and right there you are. Right there. I've learned how to do that. I've learned how to turn you off, tune you out, and tune into him. Put all my attention on him. Did it happen quickly? You got to be kidding me. What you just saw here is the result of hours and hours and hours of doing it and continuing to do it. But you can get to that place where you can walk into your closet in an airport, anywhere you are, and you can get alone with him. That's what we're talking about. Not having to run to some physical closet somewhere. Your closet is where you're alone with Him on the inside. And see, you get to that place because you have offered, Lord, help me. Jesus, Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost said, come here. Grab my hand. We're going to walk past this, the outer court, past the brazen altar. Okay, here you go. Do this. Worship. Worship. And some of you are thinking right now, I don't have time for this. If you have any desire to have consistent prayers answered, you'll make time. You'll make time. Unless you would just as soon have 10, 15% of your prayers answered the rest of your life, and that's fine with you. If that's fine with you, fine. There's no pressure to do anything. I want 100%. Because I want my life to be so in line with His will for me that everything that I'm asking for is on that path. I have every right to it. I approach Him with worship. My heart is changed. I'm walking into His presence. I'm following this order. I'm saying, here I am, Lord. See, once the Holy Ghost has taken you by the hand and you walk past that outer court, past that brazen altar, you're offering up your soul, and you go into that holy place, Jesus is right there. He's right there. And I told you, there's another altar there, the altar of incense. As you continue to worship, as you continue to get more and more of His presence manifesting through you, you start looking more like Jesus, who Pastor Dave is looking more and more like. You see what I'm saying? And His presence, like the incense that the priest would offer on a daily basis, His presence permeates you. You. And you get around somebody, and guess what happens? There's something about you that I can't put my finger on. What is it? What is that? I can't. What is that? It's the fragrance of Jesus. Because I spent time with Him. And see, you don't stop there. What was the song about? Take me into the Holy of Holies. Holy Spirit brings you to Jesus. Guess what Jesus does? Jesus is here. Here. Don't stop. Don't stop. Let's go right into the Holy of Holies. Let's walk right in together. Here's my blood. We're going to go right in. And you go right to the Father with reverence, with honor, respect. And you offer up to Him what your petition. He already knows. So it's about the order that you take to do this. You walk into that Holy of Holies. Here it is, Father. And I thank You because I know it's done. If you'll take the time to do this, what you're going to find out is there's a confidence in you. How many of you have ever asked for something? You don't have to raise your hand up. You've asked for something. You walked away and you're like, I know I'm not going to get that. You ever done that? Really, I know I'm not going to get that. You know, or 2 weeks goes by. I know I'm not going to get that. That was just a pipe dream. I want to tell you something. This is the way you need to be approaching your prayer life. Because you've surrendered to Him. Because you're walking out the plan of God. When you approach Him with a petition, it's as good as done once you ask Him. And you'll never, ever turn loose of it. Ever turn loose of it. If it was worth asking for, it's worth standing for however long it takes till you get it. All right, now go back to Matthew chapter 6. After this manner, therefore, verse 9, pray, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Hallowed. All right, go back to He said, I need to go back here. Go back. This is where I said we're going to go back a little bit. Go back to verse 5. And when thou prayest, see, he's starting right here. This is where the whole topic starts. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. The hypocrites, and I told you what hypocrites are. I told you this before. The definition is a stage actor. It says it was a custom for Greek and Roman actors to speak in a large mask with some kind of a mechanical device to boost their voice. That word means this, having a mask on. You're acting like an actor in a play. You're a hypocrite. You've got a mask on, but it's only for show. It's for other people to look at you. Well, what does that have to do with worship? And what does that have to do with prayer? You come into church like this. You get caught up in the music. The music's wonderful. The music will help you. It's only to be a tool to help you, not to rely on for your worship, for your daily allotment or your weekly allotment of worship. Here's the music. They bring the words. You just have to mumble along and kind of raise your hands up. And all the while, on the inside, you're in strife with your brother. You've got all kind of things. You have odd against other people. You have odd in your home. You've got things going on with your wife. And all the time, you're just sitting there, oh, I worship you, Jesus. I worship you. And all this turmoil, all this yuck is going on inside of you. Guess what? You've got a mask on. Oh, everything's fine with me. Oh, Jesus. No, it's not. No, it's not. You know, I'm easily fooled. You know, you can dance around and show, wave your hands and smile. I'm convinced, but guess what? It doesn't matter if I'm convinced or not. Do you hear me? Shake your heads. It don't matter if I'm convinced. What matters is Jesus. Jesus ain't buying it. Do you hear me? You can look all holy and, oh, Jesus. Have a little tear. Guess what? He don't buy it. Because he knows your heart. He knows what's going on the inside. That's why we're talking about hypocrisy. He's saying, get the mask off. Get that stinking mask off. If you want to have answered prayer, this is what you have to do. Verse 5 again. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue. Oh, I bet they did. In the corner of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Talking about prayer and the fallacy of hypocrisy. If you want your prayers answered, get the hypocrisy out. It's not about what anybody else thinks about you. You're not fooling God. You're not fooling Him. Believe me, I've tried. I've tried. It's like Doug said, the guy that thought, I got him convinced. I can't remember the word. Conned. I got him conned. Sure you do. No, you don't. You're the conned one. He knows. He knows all the junk going on inside of you. You're not going to fool Him. So stop trying. Don't try to impress me. Don't try to impress anybody. What you want, dear heart, is your prayers answered. And this is how you get it. Not by putting on a show. I can dance. I can run. I'll run around. I'll do this. I'll do that. No. No. He wants to see the condition of your heart change and line up with His. So that you're not living a life that's all about yourself. So that you're not living a life that you have your plan and He has His, and neither the two shall meet. Do you hear what I'm saying? We wonder at times why our prayers are never answered. It's because the plan that He has for us is not the plan that we have for ourselves. We've never, what did she say? surrendered. See, I taught about that 2 weeks ago. Guess what? This is on that same path. Why do you think he's having me to say this now? Because if you want your prayers answered, you come along this path, and the path requires surrender. I give up. I give up trying to figure it out myself. Glory to God. Are you getting anything out of this? Amen. Verse 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. I showed you how to do that. When thou hast shut the door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and the Father which is in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not the vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not you therefore like unto them, for your Father knows. He knows what you have need of before you ask. After this manner therefore pray, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. This is the prayer of consecration. This is you surrendering to his will for your life. This is it. Jesus wasn't trying to make it hard. He wasn't speaking in some kind of hidden language, hidden anything that we wouldn't understand. He says, do it this way. Worship. Surrender to his will. Surrender your will to his. Surrender. Follow along this path, and you will have your prayers answered. Why is that? Because as I surrender, I'm telling you, as I surrender more and more of my life to him, as I do, all I want is what he wants. All I want is what he wants. And I told you before when I was talking about surrender, you can only surrender, you can only turn loose of to the level of your transformation. What we teach here all the time. You cannot surrender beyond your level of transformation. The level of change that's been worked on the inside of you. You can kid yourself. You can tell yourself, I've surrendered all. Remember whenever she sang that song and I stood up right after it, I felt bad. My wife said, what are you doing? She sang this beautiful song and you get up and say, you can't do that. You can do it to the level of your transformation. And that's it. Not anymore. Just that. And if you think, I've given all to God. No, you haven't. I can sit down and have coffee with you one day and we can figure out in about 5 minutes how much you haven't given over to God. You believe that? I'll tell you, that's exactly. We'll just sit down, we'll talk about, how do you spend your day? Let's go hour by hour. We don't want to do that. Well, okay, I got to go to work. Okay, I can appreciate that. I did that for years. I know exactly what you're talking about. I go to work. I understand that. Okay, let's see. And do they give you a lunch time at that place? Yes. How much time do you get? Well, I get an hour. Okay, there's 60 minutes right there that you can spend in God's presence. Well, I got to eat. Okay, well, all right. Then there's 45 minutes that you can spend in God's presence. You know, you don't want to sit down and do this with somebody because you're going to find out. There's a lot of wasted time. There's a lot of wasted time. Well, I got to get home. I got to spend time with the family. Then I got to do this and I got to do that and I got to do this and I got to do that. And then I got to go to bed and do that all tomorrow. And I've lived that way. I have. Until someone stood up in front of me, someone either by the name of Dave Roberson or Gary Carpenter, one of the two, and told me, I think it was Gary. Gary said, you know what? You can live your whole life doing just that and do nothing for the kingdom of God and die and go to heaven if that's what you want. And it's like, I don't like you, Gary Carpenter. Don't say that kind of stuff to me. That's the truth. He was telling the truth. If I'm really serious about really wanting to fulfill the plan of God for my life, guess what? I will prioritize my life. I will figure out what stays and what goes, what's important to eternity and what's not. And I'll live accordingly. And like I said before, you don't have to. You can get 10% of your prayers answered. You can live a little jolly little life on this earth, and bless God, we'll love you. We'll love you in heaven. But that's not what life is supposed to be about. Can I hear an amen? That's not it. And you don't go to this church to hear that. Can I hear another amen? You go here to be challenged. You go here because you're not satisfied with status quo. You can get that anywhere. Anywhere. Just go. Just go. They'll love you as best they can. They'll give you a program to fit into. What I'm offering you here isn't some artificial love. When I say that, I'm talking about fitting into a program. A real nice, we'll do a food drive. That's wonderful. That's great. We'll do this little program or that little program, and we'll bless people. That's wonderful. But what about getting the little baby out of the wheelchair? Are you going to do that with that cute little program? Because I don't think so. See, that cute little program, if I can use this analogy, you ever had imitation crab meat? Imitation crab meat, you know what I'm talking about. Imitation crab meat, guess what? That's not real crab meat. Did you know that? I don't think some people in Oklahoma know that. I've gone to sushi bars. See, I've come from Florida. Florida, we have real sushi. Right out of the ocean. I mean, it's still jumping a little bit. You go here and it's like, oh, we got sushi. Oh, you do? Yeah. You look at that roll and there's a little imitation crab meat inside there. That's not sushi. Okay? Program-based churches. I'll be honest with you. That's not the love that's cultivated from getting in your closet and worshiping the Lord. That's an imitation of this. That's an imitation of this. This cost you something that anybody can do. Anybody can do it. And I'm not saying it's bad, but are you going to settle for imitation crab meat the rest of your life? I think that'll be the title of this message. Are you going to settle for that the rest of your life? Or are you going to press in and get real crab meat? Because there's no substitute. Do you hear what I'm saying? There's no substitute for this love right here. You can't. You can't do good works and get this. Do you hear what I'm saying? And this is worth paying a price for. That other stuff, it's wonderful. And people spend their whole lives doing it. And Pastor Dave said, when you go by, you're running, you're training for the Olympics. This is what he told, God told Pastor Dave, you're training for the Olympics. You run by the little, the square little box, little sand, play sand area where the other preachers are. And they're playing with it. He said, don't upset them. You just keep going because you're training for the Olympics. That's where they are and that's where they're going to stay. Don't hurt them. You just keep doing what you know to do. The devil will try and tell you at times, go join up with some other program-based church. Look, look, they can do this for the kiddos. They can do this for the homeless. They can do all these wonderful things. It's a substitute for this. And just know that. Just know it. If you decide to go that route, God bless you. We're not going to hurt you. We love you. We want you to stay here and contend for the true love. But guess what? We'll love you irregardless. Many people have come through those doors, folks. Many. And many have gone and opted for what appears to be the love I'm talking about. It's not. And I'm not trying to hurt people. I'm not saying anything is wrong with a program-based church. But don't be fooled. This love right here, this love that permeates the atmosphere that you can sit down and have a cup of coffee with Pastor Dave and experience, you don't get that with food drives. You don't get that by going out and shaking people's hands and knocking on doors. You get that because you've gone into your own closet and you've paid a price for it, and you went past the brazen altar and you've gone into the holy place and you've offered up the incense of worship on the altar, and Jesus takes you by hand. He says, "You need to come with me." And you walk in. Do you think that's worth your time? It is. It is. And you are so fortunate because you go to a place where people are contending for just that. You won't be alone. You'll be part of a group trying to go to the same place, doing the same thing. Do you see how beneficial that is? Do you know what it feels like to have your prayers answered? I'm going to tell you something. When you worship the Lord and you spend time with Him and you spend hours with Him, and then you present a petition, or whatever you do, guess what? It's wonderful. It's wonderful. You're with Him. All right, go back here. Getting close, almost done. Stay with me. I'm going to go back to verse 9. "After this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Holy, holy is Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day, our daily bread." I'm going to tell you something. The better you know Him, the closer your relationship is with Him, the more this love relationship grows inside of you, little by little, your daily bread becomes less of a care to you. Little by little, you just know, this Father that loves me this much, that I have this love for, He's going to provide for me. I know He will. He's going to provide my daily bread each and every day. Verse 12. "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." You'll never get into this place with answered prayer having a bunch of unforgiveness in your heart for people. You just can't do it. And He even goes on to say this in verse 14. He reiterates it here. "If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive yours also." He didn't say it just once. He had to go back and reiterate it again. Say it again. Because they're not going to hear you the first time. If you have a bunch of ought in your heart for people, your prayers aren't getting answered. You have to forgive. You've got to forgive. Turn loose of the ought. Turn loose of the person. Forgive them. All right, let's go on. Verse 13, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lead us not into temptation. Lead us not. I'm asking him. Now, you know what it says when you look at James. He's not going to tempt a person. So what in the world is this about? Why do I have to ask the Father? Because I know he doesn't tempt people. James tells me that. So why am I asking him? When I ask him to lead me not into temptation, guess what I'm doing? I am enabling him if in the future I ask him for something that would lead me into temptation, for him to say, no, you don't get that. Because you already asked me not to lead you that way. So I'm not going to, because you've already freed me through your prayer, lead me not into temptation. That when you've asked that and it will lead you there into temptation, I can say no. I'm not going to let you go there. You ever heard that? Isn't that good? That's good. Okay, I heard it from Pastor Dave, who heard it from the Holy Ghost. Amen. We don't get to take credit for any of this stuff. Come on. Are you kidding me? It comes from the Holy Ghost through Dave to one of us. All right. But deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Now go over to verse 32 and 33. I'm going to wrap this up here. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows you have need of all these things. Isn't that repetitive? Didn't we just hear that? Verse 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. He even finishes that chapter there talking about the same thing that he already says. He's repeating himself again. Turn over to John 15. I got to put this in because he's bringing this up. John 15, verse 16. You don't have to turn there. Let me just read it to you. You know it. Chapter 15. John 15. Verse 16, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I've loved you. Greater love has no man than this. The man lay down his life for his friend. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knows not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. This is it, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. What did I say earlier? 5%, 10%, 15%, 20%. How much percentage is whatsoever? Isn't that 100%? How many of us are living there? How many of us know its potential? It is potential. It is potential, or Jesus wouldn't have said it. It's out there. It is out there. That 100% is where the babies step out of the wheelchairs. That's on this path. As you walk this path and you go into private worship, it is this presence that we're talking about. This presence that will permeate the area around you, that will enable you to ask whatsoever. Because the whatsoever is going to be, Father, not about me. I don't want anything for me. It's this person right here that's filled with cancer. It's this person right here that has lost a leg. Father, I want to see a leg on this body. That's the whatsoever that we're talking about. That's it. And it's on this path. And Jesus told us how to get there. I don't know about you. I'm not here to take up space. I'm not. I'm not here to lavish myself with a bunch of things that are just going to burn up. They're fine. I like nice stuff. But if that's the focus of my life, in eternity, I'm going to be disappointed, at least for a second. You're here to be challenged. You're here because you want someone like me, some loudmouth like me, to stand up in front of you and to challenge you not to live some mediocre, mamby-pamby little, go to heaven, maybe Christian life. You come here because you want me or Pastor Dave or Gary or Alan or Doug to stand up here and say, look, you can have more. You can have more. There's a life that's out there for each and every one of you. Nobody is excluded from this. Every single one of you, it doesn't matter if you're smart or dumb, rich or poor, beautiful or ugly, it doesn't matter. It's available. His very best, His presence manifesting wherever you go. You can have it. Isn't that good? That's good. Hallelujah. Now give Him a hand. He's worthy. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 This will be my imitation crab meat message. Everyone, just stand up with me, please. We'll go ahead and close. And if you came here for prayer, my wife and I would love to pray for you. Love to pray for you. So after we pray and dismiss, you can just make your way forward, and we'll pray and believe God for your miracle. Amen. Father, I thank you so much. Just raise your hand. We don't want to just run out of here because it's noon. Bless God, it'll be noon. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you. Hunger. Father, make them hungry. Hungry. To surrender, hungry for your presence with an insatiable desire for you. Hungry, Lord, hungry for you, Jesus. We'll not settle for imitation love, only the love from being in your presence. Jesus. Jesus, we love you. We worship you. Just worship Him. Let's just take 1 minute. 1 minute, that's it. And worship Him. Jesus, lift up your hands. Lift up your hands. We're not going to... Hey, if you got a mask on right now, just repent and get the mask off and raise your hands up and worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus, we worship you. Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We love you. He reminded me of this just now. Let me share this with you. When you're pressing into your time in private worship, this is what you want to do. Now listen to me. As you're focusing all your attention on Him, you do this. I worship you, Jesus. And if your mind, right after you say that, slips and starts running around, then you pause. And you lasso that thought and you bring it back around again until you're silent and you're focused on Him, and you say it again. I worship you. And you pour in to every word, every ounce of who you are. See, this is what it means to offer it up on the brazen altar. You are focusing all of your attention on Him, and you're encompassing in every word, every bit of who you are, and you're saying it, I worship you, Jesus. I want you to do that right now. I worship you, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. Jesus, I love you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, just help them. Help them. Grace. Grace to help as they press in to your presence. We love you. And we know that we're going to manifest, see your manifested presence through our lives. We know it. We know it. The area around us will be permeated with you like the fragrance from the altar of incense. It's going to fill the air around us with your presence, the fragrance of you. Because you are love. And as we cultivate this love, we're cultivating you in us. Thank you, Jesus. As they go their way, Lord, thank you for a hedge of protection and a hedge of protection around Pastor Dave and Alan. Thank you.